Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
I'm delighted to have back on Church and Culture Elizabeth Yore, who was here only a month ago to talk about the WikiLeaks, and specifically the Catholic portions of the WikiLeaks. Elizabeth is very, very accomplished. She was a member of the Heartland Institute delegation that traveled to Rome in April 2015 to protest the ECOS Summit, that is, the climate change and population control solutions that were being pushed at the Vatican. I'm going to stop there. Much more I could say about Elizabeth Yore, but she's got some pretty exciting results of her latest investigations into the newest WikiLeaks. Elizabeth, welcome to Church and Culture.
Thank you, Jill. Pleasure to be with you today.
Well, first of all, what is your take on the announcement just 30 minutes ago that the FBI is reopening its case on Hillary Clinton's private email server?
Well, my initial take is that we had heard that there was mutiny, a revolt, great dissension among the investigative team of FBI agents who had worked long and hard to investigate Mrs. Clinton. And I suspect that as these WikiLeaks documents keep coming out and more emails are coming out to the public, that this has kind of forced the hand of Jim Comey, the director of the FBI, to reopen the investigation. You know, there's discussion, I've heard that there were FBI agents who were whistleblowers who wanted to testify before Congress. So I think the pressure, both publicly and internally within the FBI, I mean, this is my hunch, I know nothing, it really forced his hand to reopen the investigation as it should have been.
What is it like to get inside the world of the WikiLeaks, which is evidently this vast library of emails in the hundreds of thousands? What's it like to get in there, and how do you find things?
Well, it's actually, and I would encourage your audience to, it's a very easy website, WikiLeaks.org. You go in there, there's a great search button, and you search for any term. I search for Catholic, Vatican, Pope Francis, and all of a sudden, emails will pop up regarding those topics that are mentioned in John Podesta's emails. As your audience probably knows by now, John Podesta is chairman of the Clinton campaign. He has held a number of very important roles, among them chief of staff at the Clinton White House, chief counselor at the Clinton White House, and then chief of the liberal think tank funded by George Soros, the American Progress, Center for American Progress. So these emails span from about, I've seen some in 2008 all the way up to almost the present day.
So, hey, Elizabeth?
Yes.
I just put my name in, and about eight things popped up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you'll have work, interesting work to do at the end of this conversation.
I mean, it kind of makes my heart go pitter-patter in the sense of what could possibly be in there about me. I mean, most of this stuff, aren't these WikiLeaks mostly going back to around 2006?
No, there's many of these WikiLeaks are present day, 2016, 2015, 14, all the way. I've seen them go back to 2008. And very recent emails. So, I think it spans those 5 or 6 years there where there was intense planning for the Clinton presidential campaign against Barack Obama and then now presently against Donald Trump.
Wow. Well, I just found out what Sidney Blumenthal thought of me.
Is that right, T.L.?
Well,
oh my goodness.
This shit, We'll talk about all this later, because
this is breaking news, folks.
But what have you been digging more into the Catholic side of WikiLeaks? Of course, there's been, what, one or two dumps since the last time we spoke?
You know, I think we're up to, now they're coming every day. So I have lost track. I think it's 21, 22 dumps for a total. Initially, you may recall, Deal, that there was a what they call DC Leaks dump, and that involved hacked documents from the George Soros Open Society board. That had some very, very revealing information about the Catholic Church, the Francis Papacy. And I think we did discuss that. The WikiLeaks is strictly John Podesta, who is kind of the spoke in the wheel of all things liberal democratic politics and liberal Catholicism. So I did and have been spending day in and day out looking at how they pull back the curtain in these documents about how they operate, how they undermine the Catholic faith, how they are politically organizing not only in the United States but also at the Vatican to promote the agenda of Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election.
The what do you think the most damaging evidence that you've found in the WikiLeaks regarding their attempt to manipulate opinion about the Catholic Church and from within the Catholic Church itself?
Well, first of all, everybody will recall that initial email that was entitled Conservative Catholicism.
Right.
And it was talking about the conservative media mogul, Rupert Murdoch, who is, in fact, not Catholic, had his children
married to one.
Yes, baptized in the Catholic faith. And they began to talk about the conservative Catholics as those who are a bastardization of the faith. They must be attracted to systematic thought and severely backwards gender relationship. And so then they also, in a following and subsequent email, talked about an opening for a Catholic Spring, and that was referring to fomenting a revolution as happened in the Arab Spring, undermining the Catholic Church, fueling and planting the seeds of revolution among the Catholics, and demanding an end to the what they call the Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and respect for gender equality in the Catholic Church. So these emails going back and forth among the Hillary acolytes were clearly nothing but anti-Catholic bigotry. And interestingly, John Podesta commented, and again, this is a fascinating window into the operations that are being fueled by George Soros through liberal Catholics. Soros said, well, when all this talk about let's demand a Catholic Spring, John Podesta pipes up in an email and says, well, we have created Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good and Catholics United. And so these Catholic liberal organizations do exist, I might add, funded by George Soros. But interestingly, our friend John Podesta commented, like most spring movements, I think this one will have to be bottom-up. So there was clearly a huge pushback from conservative Catholics, from the Catholic Church, and certainly from the bishops, regarding these bigoted and hateful comments about Catholics. You know, had it been about Muslims or had it been about people of the Jewish faith, there would have been an even larger uproar. But here it was, John Podesta, liberal Catholic, engaging in back and forth with Clinton operatives to bash conservative Catholics.
Liz, I wanted to tell you a story that I've never told publicly and rarely told privately. Part of the personnel that they hired during the 2008 election was a guy named Eric McFadden, and he had been years ago head of Catholics for Carey, and he became involved in the Catholics for Obama effort in 2008. And this guy was an IT expert, and he actually harassed me on the internet for several years. I mean, he would show up anywhere I posted anything. He would, you know, post something nasty about me. And he actually would send emails to me, threatening emails. And at one point, I had somebody tracking his IP address because he was always changing IP addresses. And they were coming closer and closer to my house. They had started out in the Shenandoah Valley. And one guy said, if he gets within a mile of you, I'm calling the police. Well, I mean, and I tried to call him. I called him and tried to talk him through it, you know, because it was ridiculous. But shortly after the election, he was arrested for running a prostitution ring. And what he had done, he actually had gotten himself a hired position with the under the governor of Ohio as head of their faith-based office in Ohio, based upon his work for the Obama campaign with Catholics. But he had had for many years an online website of women on the streets in Cleveland, I believe. It's one of the cities in Ohio, where he was offering them for services. It turns out at least one of them was underage. So he ended up being caught and put in jail. And, I mean, it was a very nasty period in my life. I mean, this was 2008, and they had a paid attack dog, IT expert, on my tail.
Yes, and this is a very informative story, Deal, because this is precisely what your listeners should be aware of. This is a hugely funded operation that the left is going after conservatives, that all these, you know, so-called Catholic groups are really fronts for a liberal agenda, oftentimes pushing George Soros agenda. And I'm sure your listeners know, anti-Catholic, anti-capitalist, atheist, billionaire, globalist, massive pro-abortion proponent, euthanasia proponent. These so-called Catholic groups that spring up, they're not organic.
This guy was one of the founders of Catholics and Alliance for the Common Good, for example.
Okay, there you go. And so I think it's very important for people to be skeptical about these organizations, and that they have to. This is what WikiLeaks, in my mind, has really exposed, among many things, is the massive amount of millions of dollars that are going into silence, like they were trying to silence you, Deal, undermine the Catholic faith, and to really create and foment revolution and dispirit the faithful, so that they don't speak up, so that they become isolated and feel like they, you know, they don't have a voice and they're alone. And so there is, WikiLeaks pulled back the curtain on this and has shown, in my mind, what I certainly saw what was going on in the Vatican, but just couldn't put my finger on and understand the full extent of what's going on. So this is one piece.
Yeah, let's underscore that for a second. In 2015, when you went to the Vatican to try to protest the presence of all these population control types who are trying to leverage whatever environmental issue we've got, you found out that there was a close connection between left-wing groups, left-wing leaders who are not on the same page with Catholics on basic moral values, and the institutional church, right?
That's absolutely true. If you look at the WikiLeaks, you will see this joy and excitement with the left and Democrats regarding the environmental push that was going on at the Vatican. And I saw, you know, I have, before I even knew about WikiLeaks, I've done 3 years of investigative research on who isn't pushing the environmental agenda. It was UN, Soros-backed acolytes, brain trust of Soros, Jeffrey Sachs, Joe Stiglitz, for example, Peter Raven, who was a collaborator and cohort of, and many people will remember this guy, Paul Ehrlich, who wrote The Population
Yes.
Bomb. All these people, deal experts, were embedded in the Vatican, featured at conferences. Jeff Sachs, who is the UN Sustainable Development Consultant Advisor, received $50 million from George Soros, has spoken at the Vatican, I hope everybody's sitting down, 18 times under
Pope. Oh, come on.
No, 18
George,
times.
Is this out there yet, Liz?
I've written about it. I continue to write about it. But this is 18 times.
Let's say that again. George Soros has spoken at Vatican.
Not George Soros's handpicked brain trust. Closest advisor who's been working with him since the late 1980s, economist Jeffrey Sachs. And who has received over $50 million from George Soros and has spoken and been featured as the headliner at the Vatican and has even drafted Vatican documents. And he's spoken 18 times in the last 3 years of the Francis Papacy.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, case closed.
Yeah, no.
I mean, what more direct evidence do you need of the Soros influence on the Catholic Church than that?
That's correct. And now, with WikiLeaks, we have far more. Not only were his operatives embedded in the Vatican pushing Laudato Si, pushing the Pope to speak at the UN and to endorse the Sustainable Development Goals, which, by the way, are abortion-laden policies of the UN. And not only did these Soros operatives push the Pope to promote the passage of the Paris Climate Treaty, but, and this has been what's happened in the last 2 weeks, deal, in WikiLeaks, we saw that Soros funded an organization of an Alinsky organization in an interfaith dialogue group of black evangelical, all sorts of political activists, and it's called PICO, P-I-C-O, gave them $650,000 to travel to the Vatican and try and encourage the Vatican and Pope Francis to talk about the issues that were important to them and to the Hillary Clinton campaign. And what are those issues? Those issues are income inequality. Those issues are Black Lives Matter issues. Many Black Lives Matter pastors were in that delegation. Those issues were climate change. And so George Soros, in the summer of 2015, encouraged PICO to arrange a delegation of pastors, an interfaith delegation of political activists, Alinskyites, to travel to the Vatican. Well, I wrote an article about that, not knowing if, in fact, the trip did go. Well, the junket did go, and we know that because of WikiLeaks, because there was a glowing, detailed report to John Podesta about what happened to that PICO delegation that went to the Vatican. It was not just a one-hour meeting, not just a one-day meeting. It was a three-day meeting with the most senior-level Vatican cardinals, the Vatican cardinals who are members, hand-picked members of the cabinet of Pope Francis. Cardinal Maradiaga Rodriguez, Cardinal Turkson, they met for 3 days. Literally, excuse the pun, the red carpet was rolled out for this PICO delegation.
talking with, I just want to remind our listeners, I'm talking with the courageous and wise Elizabeth Yore. Elizabeth, where do you actually, are you a Chicago person?
I'm a Chicago person. That's why I know so much about Alinsky.
Yes.
And liberal political.
And you, even though you and I only met recently, which is kind of weird because we've covered a lot of the same territory in our in our work. You've been writing really cutting edge articles, columns, and reports on this kind of corruption in the Catholic Church for quite some time, haven't you?
Yes, you know, I took this, what I want to say, turn in my career. I'm an international child advocate attorney. You know, I fight predators, chase down predators, look for missing children. But when I went to the Vatican Human Trafficking Conference in November 2013 deal, I saw with my own two eyes.
Ah, so a human trafficking.
Yes,
I bet you met my friend John Klink there.
I did. And John and I turned to each other and said, and I said to John, are we the only pro-lifers here?
Yeah.
There were Obama administration.
Unless Steve Wagner was there.
I don't remember Steve Wagner, but
definitely John actually came on this show and talked about that conference. Later on.
Yes, and you know, I was initially, full disclosure, fan of Francis because, as many of you may recall, he was talking a great deal about human trafficking in the beginning, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's my issue that I, you know, worked with human trafficking cases. So I was thrilled to go to the Vatican and sat there, and I was stunned by what I saw. I was stunned.
What was it that stunned you?
A couple things. Initially, Jeffrey Sachs was speaking, and at the last minute pulled out. And I was like, Jeff Sachs? First of all, what does he know? He knows nothing about human trafficking. He's not in this field. He's an economist. Secondly, I knew him to be, because from time to time I would see him on MSNBC, a radical leftist, pro-abortion, population control advocate. What is he doing speaking at the Vatican? And then I got there. And I heard little from, there are very few experts on human trafficking who are allowed to talk. I heard radical rhetoric. The Obama administration was there in force. The UN, radical NGOs were there talking about income inequality, talking about mass incarceration. And I kept on thinking, what does any of this have to do with human trafficking? And we're, you know, human trafficking is, in my mind, the epitome of evil. And the Catholic Church, of course, has always been, you know, at the forefront of this, talking about the evil, the sexualization of society and the suffering of women and children and little boys, for that matter, in human trafficking. So, Gail, I left that conference. My soul was rattled. I was so perplexed.
It had been co-opted, right?
It had been. It had been. And we met, all of us met Francis. So I spent about 30 minutes in Pope Francis's presence. So I watched what was going on. And I could not figure it out. And so at that moment, I decided I was going to continue to watch, track, investigate what was going on at the Vatican, because in my experience as a witness early on in his papacy, I saw, I kid that, you know, I got lost on my way to Rome. I took a hard left turn because that's who was at the Vatican. And I began to research Jeff Sachs. I did not at the time know his collaboration and close relationship with George Soros and other members of the Pontifical Academy, which hosted this conference. And so that, you know, the Holy Spirit sometimes just takes you on down a road where you were not anticipating. And so as a result, I really felt compelled to speak the truth, however uncomfortable it was. My research skills and finding missing children oftentimes were like looking for a needle in a haystack. I felt the same kind of compulsion in trying to uncover the truth of what was really going on at the Vatican. And quite frankly, Gail, it's all been confirmed a hundredfold by the WikiLeaks documents and continues to be.
So the WikiLeaks really is something that Catholics should pay attention to, not because it tells us about the inside of the Clinton world, but because it tells us something about the Vatican itself.
Absolutely. If your listeners just quickly search under the topic PICO, P-I-C-O, you will find that these radical Alinsky community organizers were welcomed to the Vatican, invited by Mary Diaga. They strategized with the top Vatican officials, and they coordinated talking points and themes for the Clinton campaign, for the Pope's visit in September 2015 to the U.S. And what does it say about the Holy See when it opens up its doors to literally, these guys were wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts in the Vatican.
No.
And yes, and given extensive access to the high curial cabinet members. And this is not simply a quick meet and greet, picture taking.
Now, he would do that with pro-lifers.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly. These were intense, substantive, strategic planning and coordinated meetings. And by the way, we know that they were effective because these radical alliances were played out and really intricately woven into the Pope's speeches, into his encyclical. And for example, one of the things that they urged the Pope to do when he came to the United States was to visit a jail and to talk about, you know, the mass unfair incarceration in the United States of black men. The Pope did visit when he was in, I believe, Philadelphia, a jail. But there's unequivocal evidence of coordination between George Soros and his network of fully funded organizations and operatives who are all Alinskyites, and those who are embedded and trusted in the Vatican. And the other troubling thing is the coordination, because there's a discussion in these emails about continuing to coordinate and press these themes of income inequality, climate change, the unfairness of poverty, and to continue to press these issues during the election cycle of 2016.
So they had their eye on influencing the election directly.
Absolutely. And your listeners may not know that George Soros has given up to at least $25 million to the Hillary Clinton campaign. And they were reporting back to John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. This is how the meeting was.
Well, throughout the WikiLeaks, there are all these notes about keeping Soros happy, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, he must have been very happy about this PICO meeting because it ticked all the boxes, and they were amazed and thrilled by the response they got. Another thing that happened as a result of these meetings is Cardinal Turkson, who is very close associate of Pope Francis, head of Justice and Peace, Pontifical Commission at the Vatican, asked this group of, and some of them were actually union officials, SEIU union officials that were part of the delegation that went with the Alinskyites, asked them to meet him in Bolivia at the World Meeting of Movements. Now, if that doesn't sound like a disconcerting conference or summit,
right.
The World Meeting of Movements. And folks can go on the PICO website and see
and
that
find
exact
out what that was.
Yes, and they can also see pictures of Cardinal Turkson and the PICO delegation down in Bolivia. So it's not just that there was a very successful meeting. The follow-up, both by the Pope's statements as well as the actions of this group, continue to unfold with this coordinated effort to push this, what I consider to be a radical left agenda in the Vatican, and coordinating with, these are people, Gail, that not only were part of the Ferguson riots, in the Philadelphia riots, there, many of the people, Jeff Sachs has spoken before, Occupy Wall Street. Remember Occupy Wall Street in 2011. Occupy Wall Street was in not just Wall Street, but in Chicago and San Francisco, and they were, you know, closing down the financial districts, living on the street. These are the kinds of people that are getting a hearing at the Vatican with the close personal associates and advisors of Pope Francis.
Let's take a short break. Elizabeth, you are sorry to cut in. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back on just what the WikiLeaks tells us about the relationship of our church to George Soros, whose money is funding abortion, contraception, gay marriage, you name it. We'll be right back.
An encounter with divine mercy that saved a life will take your breath away. Hi, this is Peggy Stanton, and I urge you to join me for one of Power from the Pew's most dramatic shows. My guest, Jeff Jay, recounts in stunning detail how our Lord pulled him from the pit of despair into a life for others. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
What keeps us from believing in miracles? Scientific proof? Lack of faith? Do you know at every Mass we witness the greatest miracle of all? On November 19th, join Branches Catholic Ministries at the Scotiabank Convention Center in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Regenerated 2016 will address modern-day Eucharistic miracles, mystical events, and the scientific evidence behind them. Are these signs from God to help our unbelief? Get tickets at branchesoftheword.org and see for yourself.
One of my favorite things to do is to enjoy the silence. They say God's voice is the loudest in the silence, but I don't always get that opportunity in my life to turn off the noise and just be in silence with God. Someone once recommended that I spend this daily time meditating on God so that I might find clarity. Years later, I was also challenged to read the Gospels every day for at least 15 minutes. And it has been by doing just that that I've heard Jesus' voice the loudest and have grown to better understand how to communicate with him. In the Gospel of John, it reads, "Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you are king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice.' So do you hear Jesus' voice? Perhaps you need to turn off the noise and sit in silence, and he will be heard." This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
I'm back with Elizabeth Yore, whose day job in her career has been to protect children around the world from sex abuse, both in the church and education and human trafficking. She has served as the general counsel and director of the International Vision of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in Virginia, and has attended all kinds of high-profile conferences around the world. But ever since she went to a 2015 human trafficking meeting at the Vatican, she realized that she needed to look closely into the connections between our church and some of these organizations that, frankly, are working directly against the church. Is that a fair way to put it, Elizabeth?
That is. That is. It's a course change that I underwent, and that's, I couldn't have said it better myself, Dale. Thank you.
Are you going to put all this in a book?
Well, I am, and I think it's really important for Catholics and the public as a whole to understand the insidious nature of the faux global warming climate change agenda, specifically how it is being used by the left, by the UN, by the Democratic Party, to force, first and foremost, population control on the world. Secondly, to control human beings, and to impose a tyrannical new world order.
Now, if you were going to give your book a title off the top of your head, what would it be?
Well, you're really putting me on the spot.
It'll help you get clear.
The topic, I think, would be the New World Order Pope.
Whoa. Now, would people immediately know what you mean by the New World Order?
No, they wouldn't. And yet it has been in existence certainly throughout the 20th century in various subtle, small forms, making inroads into our lives. The New World Order, and I'll just kind of give you a shorthand explanation of it, is the imposition of a one-world government run by unelected bureaucrats. Think, for example, of the UN. The UN operating, taxing individuals, even individuals within the United States. There are no separate sovereign countries, but a one world order. The redistribution of wealth throughout the world so that we, and this is the language I think it's important for people to hear. And the language is, when you hear language like, and you may hear this in a, I think Ladak IC was using this language, common home, common good, common goals.
Well, common good's our term.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Right.
I mean, that's our term. Has it been co-opted?
Of course it has. Well, look at how they co-opt the word choice.
Yeah.
The left, and that's why people have to be critical thinkers, is to listen to the language that they use and to really do a deep dive on issues. And what's great nowadays, people can go on YouTube and just watch some excellent documentaries about the phony global warming. And, you know, I barely pass high school biology. I should not be talking about climate change and global warming. But what I have learned and what I do understand is how this is a stalking horse. You know, we're all under the same climate, correct? We all have the same sky over us. And so it is the perfect manifestation of the hammer that's being used to recreate a new world. And it's with the Paris Treaty. Many of the experts who advise the Pope have been proponents of a world constitution, a new world bank.
A world government.
A world government. And so this is, you know, the new world order doesn't just come, you know, one day appears at our doorstep. It is the subtle disintegration of our rights and our freedoms, the undermining of sovereignty. And one of the very disturbing issues that are involving in the New World Order is the one world religion.
Now, wait a minute. That's a new one on me. Tell me about that. I thought I knew a little bit about this. What is that?
You may have heard someone say, oh, we all love the same God, right? Isn't that what Pope Francis said? Isn't he going up to Lund, Sweden, to celebrate Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation? The importance of having one...
It does seem ironic, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The importance of having one world religion is to undermine all religions that may be able to show some resistance to the New World Order. Oh, well, we have our moral leader. We have our moral voice. We all love the same God. You know, this is a spiritual quest of peace and justice and equality for the world. So I mean, not that there is truly going to be, obviously, be a world religion, but it is an important piece in luring people into complacency. And you've seen this language coming from the Vatican as well. The Pope saying, you know, Muslims, Islam, and Catholics honor and believe in the same God. No, that's not true. And so, for that reason, that's another.
Well, we would say that Catholics and Jews believe in the same God.
Yes. So that is the new world order, which is well underway. You know, I can talk at length about, you know, how they're going to be imposing new taxes on Americans. There's going to be, you're going to see using the UN to impose laws, penalties, new criminal laws. I mean, what the UN is sending in people to watch our election as election monitors, poll watchers. I mean, utter nonsense. But that is the slow disintegration of our rights as American citizens in this sovereign country. So what has been what has always been that obstacle, that force that has been, you know, the great leveler against the left push to have the New World Order to minimize and eradicate religion. It's always been the Catholic Church.
Right.
It's always been the Catholic Church. It's always been the Catholic Church who has, frankly, battled against the UN push for climate change and population control. And those movements, the Soros movement, was always in search of the one important ingredient they never had. And what was that? It was a moral voice.
Well, and is that what they found in climate change?
Yes, they did. In Pope Francis.
But it it's failed, hasn't it? I mean, I've seen polling that says that Americans as all care very little about the climate change issue.
Yes, that's the good news, thanks to the East Anglia email scandal. And people realize that it's a phony issue that doesn't mean that they won't continue to press forward on this. And, you know, with 10...
No, they've bought into it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's too many folks on the take, you know, grants and research and...
Oh.
There's too many people.
You are so right. You know, I went over with some of the most brilliant scientists in our country. And if you are against climate change... your funding is cut off. But if you are for climate change, you know, those scientists, or quote-unquote scientists, that are promoting the climate change, global warming issue, they're getting all sorts of government funding, foundation funding. You know, the guys who are really speaking the truth are on the poverty line because nobody's funding them. And, you know, the interesting thing, again, about language, and if I could encourage people to really listen carefully. Before, it was global warming. And when global warming was debunked, what did they call it? They called it climate change.
Right.
Obviously, right? Climate changes. We all know, right? Yeah. But, climate change. And as climate change loses its panache, it becomes we need sustainable development. Well, who in God's name would be against sustainable development?
We're all
sounds
for that.
Wonderful.
But wait, it's what they pack inside of that.
It's what they pack inside. And now, because global warming, climate change has been debunked, they call it now extreme weather events that they blame.
I have not heard that.
Oh, yeah. During Hurricane Matthew, it was, here we go in the extreme weather events driven, which are driving climate change. So it is, language is very important, of course, with our education system. As you know, children aren't being taught to think critically, to listen to the language, to argue, to debate.
Have you searched under climate change and all that in the WikiLeaks?
Yes, I have.
And have you come up with any shenanigans yet?
Except for the fact that they're thrilled that Pope Francis is on board and pushing it. and then the promoter, there's just literally jubilation over the climate change exhortation, the organizing of the Soros Catholic-funded Catholic groups to promote the UN climate change agenda. I can't remember who it was in an email to John Podesta. It's been a great year.
Okay, now I got to tell you another story. And this, but this one's about Chris Corzine, who was for many years head of Catholics.
Yes.
I wrote a column in which I debunked the first version, not climate change, global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sicked his email list on me, and I got over 6,000 emails into my personal email. I watched them come in. I just watched them pour in. I said, I got very popular all of a sudden. And so then I emailed Corzine, you know, and you know how it is. You get to know these guys when you fight with them.
Yes.
And I said, what's going on? And then he apologized profusely. He didn't mean for all those to come to me directly. But I think somewhere I saved those emails. But I was pretty impressed, actually, that he could, at a touch of a button, get that much email traffic into my mailbox.
Yes, money buys a lot of feet to march, you know, in radical groups. But people have to realize, I mean, your audience, there are a lot of conservative Catholics that do not understand that they have the power to express and the right to express their views on these issues. You know, I've worked in media. I know that advertisers listen to people. I know that producers of shows listen to the public. And they don't want you to know, John Q. Public, that you have the power to shape programming, to shape content.
How do you let them know?
How do you let, you email the marketing director. Let's say Sunkist Orange Juice is advertising on a raunchy show. You just organize your prayer group to, and now you can find the email to the marketing head, to the CEO of Sunkist, you know, a couple of, you know, clicks, and you can find out who that is and what their email is. And then organize your prayer group or your parish group or to contact them and say, I am not going to buy your product because I am appalled that you are advertising on this show. I'm not going to watch NFL football if you have somebody like Beyonce or someone like Janet Jackson dressing provocatively. People have the power. They just don't know they have the power.
Can we get rid of Megyn Kelly?
Well,
I'm serious.
Again, look what's happening in the NFL ratings. Look what's happening to Fox ratings. You know, that's a very telling message to the public. You know, we are having a renaissance of innocence. It's starting slowly.
And patriotism, plain old patriotism.
And plain old patriotism. Look, we had 50 million books, copies of 50 Shades of Grey sold in the United States. That's a stain on, you know, our country. But there are all sorts of wonderful things that are, we're not going to movies anymore, which is sending a loud and clear message to Hollywood. That's great news. Now we just have to keep the heat on the rappers and the rap music and to continue to organize in the power of the common person to really have an impact on the culture and to really look at this renaissance of innocence that should be occurring in our country.
Why do you call it a renaissance of innocence?
Because, you know, what was it that, was it, C.S. Lewis said that God wants us to have child's eyes and an adult head. We need to look at the culture and the media through the innocent eyes of a child. And if we do that, we will have the power to really step up and say, I'm looking at this through the eyes of a child, and it's unacceptable. And that's why innocence is a virtue that has been almost eliminated from our culture, the Kardashian culture. And we have to reclaim it as something that not only is important for the culture to grow, but it also provides us with the ability to be a creative and imaginative and entrepreneurial country again. You know, it's the innocence of children. It's touching that creative spark that God gives each child and each of us. That's been, of course, crushed in Hollywood. There's no creativity coming out of Hollywood anymore. It's only retreads, right? Nobody's going.
A lot of it is, yeah. Elizabeth, we have 5 minutes left, and the one question that pops into my mind, because I think you and I both think strategically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any presently existing institution, whether it's a think tank, a magazine, a university, or anything, that is inclined toward becoming evangelists for this new innocence that you're talking about. So, in other words, how can we put some steam behind it in terms of strategic action?
Well, I have a couple thoughts. I don't think they'll... I think many of us have learned the power of the Blessed Mother. We learned it again in this election cycle, and the importance of the rosary to really, because many of us just love this country and see what's happening to it. And the WikiLeaks, I think, has really exposed the corruption of government. And I look at organizations like, Judicial Watch. You know, a small group of people.
They certainly got a lot done, didn't they?
Didn't they? It was relatively very little money when you look at the Soros organization. So, I will rely on the direction of the Holy Spirit and the guidance and protection of the Blessed Mother. I don't disagree with you that there is, are no institutions really presently taking on that fight, but I have no doubt that they will continue to pop up. And they may not be large institutions, they may be little judicial watches that are really transforming our government and exposing the ills. For example, look at how many congressmen, and there's only one or two that are battling, the emails and the Clinton and Trey Gowdy so it doesn't take a lot of people, it just takes committed people.
I can't believe that the Speaker of the House, who's a Catholic, went south on Donald Trump when we're looking at the potentiality of a Clinton-Cain presidency.
I think it's a testament to the disease of Potomac fever, right?
Yeah.
So much time in Washington, D.C., and not enough time, putting your pulse on the people of this country and really having an attention to the truth and to goodness. And it's very disconcerting that there's so few public officials. So I would encourage the young people who listen to this to think about a career in government, but certainly stay close to the faith and to the Blessed Mother.
Or real journalism like you do.
Elizabeth
Yore, we've come to the end of our time. We've got a minute left. Are there going to be more WikiLeaks dumps before the election?
Oh, yes. I think they're coming fast and furiously, Gail, every day. I think there will continue to be an exposure, pulling back the curtain of what really goes on. I mean, this is a gift. And to be able to see all the various players is a real insight into the dark, I'm sorry to say, the dark corners of our government.
And, unfortunately, of our church. Elizabeth Yore.
I'm in the church.
You're one of my heroes. So
you are mine.
We will definitely get back on the air on church and culture. And so thanks for being with me today. And to all of you who are listening, I'll be back with you on this day at the same time next week.
comments or questions about church and culture, you can contact Deal Hudson at dhudson@avemariaradio.net.
This is Father John Huber, president of Detroit Catholic Central High School. I'd like to invite you to our open house next Sunday, November 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. Many people know about Catholic Central because of our academics, music, or athletics, but what we do best at CC is to encourage our young men to grow in a deep, personal relationship with our Lord. Jesus Christ is the reason for Catholic Central, and I invite you to see for yourself how we honor that responsibility every day.
High school juniors and seniors, college seniors and graduates, you're invited to the Ave Fall Fest Saturday, November 19th, hosted by Tom Monahan at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Learn about the incredible Ave Maria University Michigan Scholarship of $7,000 per year over 4 years and the generous Ave Maria School of Law Michigan Toledo Full Tuition Scholarship. Meet admission counselors and enjoy dinner, Sunday bar, and giveaways, all for free with registration at AveMariaFoundation.org.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Our first reading at Mass on Sunday is from one of the wisdom books. It tells how God loves the world he made and preserves it. How could anything remain in existence or be preserved unless you willed it, it says, and Adam first called it forth. But you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls, and your imperishable spirit is in all things. In the second reading, the blessed Apostle Paul prays that Christ may be glorified in us and we in him, and that the good work God has started within us may reach its designed fulfillment. The gospel is a story of a rich outcast called Zacchaeus. Jesus went out of his way to find him because, in his own words, he had come to seek and save what was lost. As Jesus went through Jericho, Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and wealthy man, wanted to see him, but he couldn't see him over the crowd because he was short. So he ran on ahead and climbed a tree. When he reached that place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down fast and received him with great joy. Now the scribes and Pharisees grumbled, saying, "He's gone to stay with a sinner." Zacchaeus seems to have been a good and generous man. So Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save what was lost." I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read this Sunday at Mass. Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, civilization will go by way of the family, and the family will go by way of marriage. The mystical, liturgical, and ascetical gifts of the Eastern churches have much to offer for holy and happy families.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Sometimes